Turn to that famous chapter, John chapter 10, where we have not one but two of the great I am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that reminds us, doesn't it, always does, of the Lord appearing in Old Testament times and announcing himself as I am that I am. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately chose this expression because he wanted to make the point that I am, well, that's all he needed to say, but he was saying, I am that great I am. I am that one who appeared to Moses. And the same one in verse 1 in chapter 10, he says, most assuredly. These are very powerful expressions when the Lord Jesus Christ says, most assuredly. He's saying, I promise you as the divine being that these things are true. And so in this chapter, we find two of these great I am statements. Twice, the Lord Jesus Christ refers to himself as the door. Look down, for instance, at verse 9. He says, I am the door. Well, we're going to be looking at that this morning. But then in the very same chapter, it's almost intermingled one with the other. He says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. These things are tied together. The door and the shepherd, they're almost one and the same thing. And that's because the Lord Jesus Christ is both of these things. Well, I'm going to jump about a bit this morning, but in verse 6, here is something that we need to grasp. As he speaks these words, not only before verse 6, but also proceeding through the chapter, in verse 6, it makes it very plain that Jesus is using illustrations. He's taking pictures from the natural world, and he's applying them to spiritual things. And that's very important. And the reason is this, that it's made quite clear and plain also that though he used these very simple illustrations, yet in verse 6, they did not understand what he spoke to them. Now, isn't that amazing? Isn't it incredible that the Lord Jesus Christ took very simple pictures like the door, the good shepherd, or something they were very, very familiar with? He speaks of himself also as being the way, the truth, and the life. Though he takes these very straightforward illustrations, isn't it astonishing that so many of his hearers still did not understand? And you know, we mustn't despise the word of God when it uses these illustrations. You know, there are some people who come to verses like this and say, well, it's just too simple. You know, there are major politicians who've heard a true message of the gospel, maybe through some pastor or some other member of parliament, and they tell them the gospel. And this is the kind of thing that they say, these senior, very intelligent men. You know, it's just too simple. The gospel can't be as simple as that. Well, it is, but even as they say those words, we realize this, that these things are hidden from the wise and the prudent. Those who are too clever for these things. Well, God hides his truth and people do not grasp what it really means. And so, as we come to the Word of God this morning, we must have respect for the Word of God. We mustn't just dismiss these things as though they're just for children. Yes, they are for children, but they're also for adults as well. For those who need to hear these things. And so, when the Lord describes himself as being the door, or as the good shepherd, is it trivial? Is it unsophisticated? No, because we need to have them described to us in this way. You see, the Lord is describing spiritual things. He's describing a dimension, a world, which we have no real connection with, unless we love him, unless we know him as our Lord and Saviour. But you know, there's somebody here, perhaps this morning, and you're not a Christian. Well, you need to hear these simple truths laid out before you, so that it's absolutely obvious. And this is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to describe spiritual realities in terms of illustrations to us. So let's just think about this great picture this morning. In verse 9, where the Lord says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. Well, here is this door. And, you know, usually we think nothing of entering a gate or a door. It's just a natural thing for us. Maybe there's a latch on the door. Maybe there's a handle, but we just go through it really without thinking, don't we? Maybe we're very conscious where we are. And perhaps if we were going somewhere important, we'd open that door a bit more gingerly, wouldn't we? We'd give it a bit more thought. Well, we don't normally think in that way. But this door is different. Here is a door or an entryway, whatever we might call it, a gateway, where we need to pause and think very carefully before we think about going through it. That's the kind of doorway that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about here. Why is that? Well, this doorway is the difference between life and death. And that's how important it is. It's not just merely a simple illustration. The Lord is talking about a whole realm, a whole dimension, which unless we go through that door, we will have nothing to do with it. We won't enter into what he's talking about. And so, as we begin to think about these things, we must realize this, that salvation or becoming a Christian is to be pondered over and to be thought about very, very carefully and very, very deeply. These are profound statements of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't just click our fingers and think, well, that's what it's about. No, there's some thought involved. This is a matter for weighing up and reflecting upon. You can't just go barging through this door casually and maybe just trying it out, as people do with many things in this world. Just try it out. Just have a taste of it. Well, you can't do that with Christianity and with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there is all the reflecting, and I'll put it this way, there is an agony of heart which needs to be undergone, which has to be settled before Jesus Christ can let us in. Have you experienced that? Have you ever gone through agony of heart where this is a really serious thing? A thing which even crushes you because you think about your sin? And you think about the Almighty, the Eternal God, the Holy God? You can't just walk into his kingdom. No, there's a door there, isn't there? And that door has to be approached very, very carefully. You see, so many people have come across this door of the Lord Jesus Christ in their experience, and they've found it the most unattractive and undesirable door or gate possible viewed from a purely physical point of view. You see, if we think like that, if we think, well, this is just another element of excitement, this is just another thing which has to do with this world, well, we're not going to go through that door because we don't really understand what it's about. So, the first thing that we're being taught here, I believe, is this. That there must be a personal entering into the kingdom. You have to come through this door. Ah, yes, but you have to come in the right way. Even a few chapters back in John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ taught Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. Well, how is that possible? How can somebody go back into their mother's womb, thought Nicodemus? How can I so change that this is completely different? Well, that's what the Lord taught. This doorway is an entry point into something entirely new and entirely different that we've never experienced before if we're not believers. And so it reminds us that we must be introduced into the kingdom of God. It's a door which goes through into a new dimension. That's what conversion is. Well, let's look at this door a bit more closely. And firstly, there's a paradox. You see, this door is open and yet it's barred. It's open and it's shut at the same time. How do we explain that? Well, that's the nature of a door. The door is there for a purpose. It's there for a reason. You can't just go walking into this space because there's something in the way. And so we need to look at it from this point of view. So let's deal, first of all, with the fact that, yes, the door is open in a sense, and yet it's barred. How can that be? What determines that? Well, we very largely determine it from our attitude, from our stance. You see, in verse 1, the Lord explains this. He says, you know, there are people who try to come some other way. There are people who come further along the pathway. Go with the illustration. Yes, there's a door, there's a gateway, but the other side of the gateway, there is this path. And he says, well, there are others who climb up some other way. They try to hop in at a different point. They try to ignore the rules of what the Bible is saying. And so the Lord explains this, and we need to explain it as well. In other words, The way is barred into the kingdom of God for people who will not come the way that the Lord tells us to come. If you want to be forgiven, if you want to know God, if you want your soul to be blessed for the whole of eternity, well, there's only one right way to come. There's not our way. We can't come the way that we devise, the way that we make up. And there are many people who are doing this today who say, well, this is the way you come to God, or you've got to come that way. But no, says the Bible, there is only one way, and that is the right way. Let's explore this just for a few moments. It follows, for instance, that you can't enter the kingdom of God through birth, because you were born into a religious or even a Christian family. That doesn't make you a Christian. And you know, I sometimes just suspect that even in some of our churches, there are those who have been brought up in their families, and it's almost automatically assumed that all their children are just in the kingdom. Well, nowhere does the Bible say that. The Bible says that it must be by personal experience. You've got to come individually. You can't come via your family. You can't come by baptism. You can't just jump into the pool and think, well, that does me. No, that doesn't do it. You can try and join the fold by climbing up some other way, through your family history, which may be rich in faith. Yeah, there may be people here, and your families, as you look back on previous generations, oh, there may be many true believers from that family. But that doesn't make you a believer automatically. Now, you've still got to go through the heart agony. You've still got to feel your sin. There's no ticket which just gets you into heaven, because God saves individuals, and faith comes by personal hearing and a voluntary believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you see, my friends, your connection with your spiritual family cannot in and of itself save you. That's just trying to gate crash, isn't it? That's climbing up some other way. No, the Lord says you must come to me. You must come with all your sin, and you must come in that right way. What about good works religion? Oh, there are many who say, well, you know, I'm very close to the Bible, and I have this faith in God, and I believe in the priest and so on. But, you know, I believe you get to heaven by being good, by having good works. But, my friend, that's verse 1, isn't it? If we try and get to heaven our own way, if we think we're good enough to come and we just do a few good works, well, that's like climbing up some other way, isn't it? That's like hopping over the wall, illegitimately, and so on. You can't get to heaven like that. You can't have salvation by doing it your own way. That will never lead to salvation and being let in to the door to spiritual life. Let me tell you some other things which cause the door to be shut. Presumption. We've already mentioned that to some extent, but, you know, I just presume, yes, I can become a Christian. I can just decide overnight, you know, it's all within my power. That's just presumption, isn't it? Nowhere does the Bible teach that we can just decide in and of our own volition. No, we need great help. We need God's Holy Spirit to come and open our hearts. We need to go through that process where we repent of our sin and come to the Saviour. Otherwise, we cannot come in. You see, the door is barred, in a sense, to those who will not come in the way that the Lord prescribes. What about pride? Oh, I'm so much better than other people. You know, when I compare myself with all those people down the road or other people in our society, you know, I'm much more qualified to go through that door. No, you're not. Because the Bible says that it's by grace that we're saved. So pride puts a bar across the door. What about insincerity? Well, that's a great enemy, isn't it? Brother Marcus prayed about that, about all of us coming to this morning service and being sincere in our worship. Well, are we? Well, insincerity will cause the door to be tight shut against us, because the Lord will not have pride and insincerity in his kingdom. And so we must be sincere. We must be genuine. Well, for all that, here is the point. Yes, the way is barred for those who will not come the right way, but for those who will come in the right way, the door will be open. If you're prepared to respond to the gospel message, then God is willing. He will open that door. And the other paradox is this, that the door is Christ himself. Now, there's no literal wooden door or metal gate. This is not a physical thing. This is a spiritual thing. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is, if you like, manning that space, manning the door. And only he can let us in. But God is willing. But we've got to be careful to obey the terms and conditions that God lays down. It must be by grace. It must be freely given to us. It's something we don't deserve. But it's only through faith in God's only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be God's way and not ours. You get the point? Well, that's what the Bible lays down time after time again. It's not my way, but it's God's way. It's what he says that counts. It's his method. It's what he says that really, really counts. I just want to use an illustration. You know, if we were in a war and we were losing the war, there was a great battle which took place, and of course it's happened thousands of times in history. There has to be a losing side, doesn't there? What happens to the losing side? Well, sadly, quite often we read in history that many on the losing side are just slaughtered, just put to death. But here is a rather kinder military commander. Well, what do you do? Well, you've got to surrender, haven't you? You've got to give in to the victorious forces, the one who has won the battle. But my point is this, that when you surrender, when you give in to the opposing force which has just won the war, you don't go around dictating to the victor of a conflict your personal terms. Well, you know, I've got to have a shower in my room, and you know, I've got to have a nice soft bed, and I've got to have the... You can't do that, can you? You can't dictate if you're on the losing side, if you're surrendering, this is the way I want to come. No, we very humbly and very gratefully say, well, if this is the only way, then I will submit. I will surrender. Well, it's like that spiritually. When we come to God, we fully surrender to him. What he wants. The way he wants to do it. And you see, human beings are so full of pride that they think this, don't they? That, you know, God will accept my version. He will do what I want. No, this is what the Bible says, that when we surrender, we fully surrender our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the wonderful thing is this, that the door will spring open. Christ will let us in. He will give us spiritual life. He will give us salvation. That's the wonderful thing about this, that if we're prepared to give up, to surrender our lives, then the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will fling that door wide open. And so many people here have known that. Once you come to that point where you repent and you surrender your soul, Christ opens the door. But secondly, it's an exclusive doorway. There is only one entry point of its kind. There aren't many different types of gateways or doors. There is just one door. There aren't different versions of faith that we can have, because the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the door. He is the key and the door at the same time. He mans the way, if you like. He is the only door of entry. Well, what's this telling us? Well, it's telling us this, that the Bible's way is the only way, the exclusive way of salvation. There aren't many different ways of reaching God. There are others who teach this, of course, and increasingly there are those who call themselves Christians who say, well, you know, I've come to see that, you know, other religions have got a bit of the truth. And that bit of the truth, well, if you put it together with another bit of truth from another religion, and then another bit of truth, if you join them together, then somehow you can get to God. No way. The Christian faith, the faith of the Bible, is the one truth that we need to find the way to God. You see, you can't have different religions possessing bits of truth and bits of God, as though God has distributed himself and put a bit there and a bit there and so on. No, it's all in one place. That simplifies it, surely, doesn't it? It simplifies it and makes it so obvious and plain. Why would God confuse people by putting different bits of truth in different sorts of faiths? He'd never do that if we want to find salvation. No, it's at one point, one entry point, one door. No, my friends, this doorway, Christ, is designed by God. And of course, the doorway, if you like, is God himself. It's his scheme of things. And so here's the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you go directly to him for salvation. Now, of course, we would say something like this, that it's good to talk to believers. It's especially good to talk to the pastor. When you're troubled about things, when you're seeking salvation, you can go and you can discuss these things with believers and they will help. But, you know, in a sense, all other believers can do, even the pastor, all they can do is point to the door. Point to Christ. That's all I'm doing really this morning. I'm not doing anything different. All I'm doing is saying there is a door and you must go through that door, but I can't help you in and of myself by my own power. But you've got to go to Christ, who is the door. And that's the only way that you're going to receive salvation. But friends, you need to knock on that door. Anybody here this morning, you're still not a Christian. Have you not? Have you sought the Lord? Have you come up to that door and said, Lord, I want to go through. Lord, I want to have your way. Lord, I want to surrender. I want to repent of my sin. Well, these are all things which are taught here in the Word of God, even in this very chapter, that we must come to Christ in that way. Only his words and his teaching really have any bearing on my personal salvation. Yes, there are those who are commissioned to go and to retell the message, but all they can do is be a signpost and point to Christ and say, there's the door, go through it. Don't hesitate, come to him. But we remember, and we're going to sing this hymn in a few moments as we close, we remember this, that he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Isn't that true? Very simple verse from that hymn. But it's true that only Christ can unlock that gate of heaven and let us in to the glory and to the wonderful salvation of God. Well, why is that? Well, we're told, aren't we, in verse 11, where the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. Here the other illustration comes in. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. It's only because the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down his life for the sheep, has died upon the cross, that any of us could be forgiven. Here's another verse from that hymn. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. It's as simple as that, isn't it? But here are truths that so many people don't really grasp and don't really understand. Well, the Lord says, going back to verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, by that door, he shall be saved. Oh, have you come to him and him alone? Have you come with no imagined merit or thinking you're close to other believers and thinking that's going to get you into the kingdom? No, my friend, only he can promise to carry this through. And I come to my final point this morning, and it's really a question. After what we've discussed, after all that's been said and done, let me ask you this question. Are you an insider or an outsider? Because you see, this door makes a difference. Which side of the door are you standing this morning? Here it is, this the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like a door. You can enter in. But if you stay the other side, you're outside. If you go in through him, if you believe in him, then it makes such a difference, doesn't it? You're now inside. Now you're a privileged person. An insider, for instance, understands the scheme of things. You know, the simplest child of God this morning, in this church or any other, knows and understands the plan of God, that God has a plan. You know, the most intelligent unbeliever, and it's interesting that, don't like mentioning his name, but isn't it interesting that someone like Richard Dawkins would call himself a secular Christian now? Isn't it strange how he doesn't go along with what we believe, but he seems to admire what we say in some way. So now, suddenly, Richard Dawkins has made this category up of a secular Christian. He doesn't believe in God, but you know, he's sort of like a Christian. But you know, he's not an insider. He doesn't understand the plan of God. He doesn't grasp the truth. But even if you're a child and you're converted, you begin to see what God is doing, what God has done, what his plan for history is, what he's going to do in eternity, how he's going to end this world. You know that? God is going to finish this world. And many people today who are believers think it may be very soon. Well, where are you going to be? Are you going to be an insider? Or are you going to be eternally outside the kingdom of God? That's the question for us this morning. But if you're an insider, you're a believer, why, you feel comfortable, don't you, in the kingdom of God? And the Lord Jesus Christ makes it clear, doesn't he? He says, those who know him, those who've gone through the door, if you're saved, look at this in verse 9. You will go in and out and find pasture, he says. This is the privileged position you're in. You feel comfortable in the kingdom. You can go in and out. In other words, there is perfect freedom for your soul if you've come and repented of your sin. There's something else as well. You go in and out and you find spiritual pasture for your soul. Your soul will be fed through God's words of instruction. Your inner being will be stirred and stimulated to discover new and wonderful things. Well, that's what it's like to be an insider. You're part of the clan. You're in the fold. You're part of God's family. How different that is from being cast out, from being an outsider. You can't get in. You will not come the right way. But verse 10, there are so many verses here we could look at, but he says, I have come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's you if you're a believer this morning. You've got a better life. The Christian life is a much better life than the life of an unbeliever. You might be rich. You might have 3 boats and 5 cars. Who cares? They're just material things. They're just plastic and metal joined together, aren't they? What is that compared to abundant life? This spiritual life, this knowing about things, it's a much better life than the life of an unconverted person, because you have a life which is an ever-unfolding life, experience after experience of God's eternal blessings. That's so much better than the life of an unbeliever. How commonplace is that? When you look around at the world, everybody wants to be the same. Everybody just wants to copy each other. What's the point in that? But you see, when you love the Lord, you have a new life, a life which is so different, a life which is the life of an insider. And you go in and out, if you like. And it doesn't say you're leaving the kingdom. All it means is this, that you're in the kingdom, but you're able to go and you're able to tell others about salvation. You're able to experience numerous blessings, but you go out to others and you tell them. And I hope that if you're a believer, you're doing that this morning, that you're looking for those gospel opportunities to tell others about the Saviour. You see, only an insider can go in and out and find pasture. Life for the soul means you have access, means you have belonging to the kingdom. It means you have influence because you're called to be an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. Much better than being an ambassador of this country to another. And vice versa. Now you're an ambassador for the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, as we close, let me ask this question also. Well, how do I know I'm an insider? Well, let me simply just remind you that if you're an insider, it means you've repented. It means you've received a felt forgiveness. You know, when somebody becomes a Christian, they feel forgiven. It's not just an imaginary thing. God makes you feel forgiven. But not only at the start, but right through your Christian life, as you come and you repent of your sins, you know that you're forgiven. He gives you an assurance. If you go through Christ the door, you'll be given a changed character. You're a new person. A rebirth has taken place, hasn't it? All that's part of entering through the door. And then on top of that, you have a willingness to obey the Lord. You follow him. You live a life of prayer, I hope. Let me just challenge even believers this morning. You know, if you're a believer, let me ask this question. Are you fully entering in to this abundant life which the Lord has given you? You know, it's possible to be an insider, but to limit yourself, even as a Christian. And I've known believers, and even we ourselves do that, don't we? We limit ourselves. We want to feel comfortable, don't we, day by day. We won't take any risks. But you know, if you're going to commit yourself to the Lord, you need to enter into this abundant life. Don't settle for a lesser experience of the potential even available in this life as a believer. But go on. Dear friend, go in and out. Seek out that fresh pasture which the Good Shepherd has provided even for you. Prove the Lord even for a new period in your Christian life. What a challenge that is. Are we prepared to do that? Are we prepared to fully embrace this new life? Well, that's a challenge, isn't it, for every believer, that we need to do that time and time again. Don't just rest on your laurels. Don't just think, well, the best part of my Christian life is when I was first converted. No, don't stop there, but go on to prove the Lord even more, and it will open out before you. That's the promise of the Lord. But finally, what if you're an unbeliever? Well, if you're an unbeliever, you can't enter into that, you see. You're still an outsider. You're shut out of the kingdom. And so my challenge this morning to you is this: are you going to let it remain like that? Are you going to remain an outsider outside the kingdom? You don't have the blessing of God. You're still unforgiven. You're still unsaved. Maybe there's somebody sitting here and you know that's true. But here is an illustration for you, because Jesus says, I am the door. Can't you see it? Won't you come through me? He's not frightening people away. He's not pushing you out and saying, I don't want you. He's saying, come. He's encouraging us. And that door, Christ, shows us the way to God. Will you not enter into that door this very day? Will you not surrender and give up your sin and your life of disobedience and come through that door? And you see, if you do, then you'll become an insider. You'll be part of that family and you'll know the Lord and so much more beside. Well, there's only so much you can say in a sermon, and there's only so much you can touch upon. But there's enough for us surely there this morning to say, I know enough. I know enough this morning for me to come to the Lord. Maybe not here in the chapel, but maybe to go home and to seek the Lord privately in prayer and say, Lord, I realize now that this is what I need to do. I need to come through that door. I can see the door open, and I surrender myself utterly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, may there be friends here this morning. And, we long to hear it. Every Christian here longs to hear of somebody who's come to the Lord. May we hear that good news even this very day. Amen. Well, let's